Hello and welcome to Woo is the New podcast, a space we chat all things woo-woo and spirituality to help women and mothers awaken, evolve, and integrate into the new age. I am your host, George Wolf, and in this episode, I will be sharing with you a tool that will give you access to your soul blueprint. When going through an awakening, you can feel confused as to who you are and to question your identity. You can feel out of alignment with the life that you're currently living, and you can feel like you're being pulled towards a purpose but not sure exactly what that is. You know those corny car bumper stickers that say, "You are written in the stars." Well, I used to always roll my eyes at those until I was introduced to astrology. Now, astrology is not just a tool that can help your life, but astrological parenting is something that every mother and father can use to raise their children. Astrology has been the most impactful tool I have come across for parenting. So if you are a mummy, stay tuned for later in this episode where we chat more about astrological parenting. Now, astrology is very complex and it's not something that you can learn overnight because there are so many moving parts. So we will be doing astrology 101 episodes to break it down for you to learn and to understand yourself. In this episode, we'll be discussing your sun, moon, and rising sign, which will help you understand the core of who you are. Now, whilst I love astrology and use it in my everyday life, I am still learning. So I thought I'd bring in a professional to help me with these episodes. This incredible woman is my very own soul sister and guru, someone who I trust and go to for advice, and I just love her unique wisdom. So without further ado, please welcome star sorcerer and astrologist Brooke Croft. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Woo is the New. Thank you so much for connecting with us and sharing your innate wisdom with us today.
Thank you. Happy to be here. I'm excited.
I know. Now, it's been almost a year since you re-entered my life, all thanks to the guidance of the universe. Mm. I feel so blessed to call you a soul sister.
Thank you, my love. You too.
Since then, we have had so many deep conversations, and I'm excited for you, my beautiful Woo listeners, to come along and share this conversation with us. So I will never forget that time you sent me a text message a few days before meeting up, and you asked me what my date, time, and location of birth was. And I was like, okay.
She's crazy. Yes. She's lost her mind.
So we had not spoken for or seen each other for over 10 years. Yeah. And my mind was blown because you knew me better than I knew myself. And you awakened me to astrology. And I'll be forever grateful for you. But before we dive into this episode, I want to ask you, when did you awaken to astrology?
So I had my astrological awakening after I had my daughter. I had my spiritual awakening much earlier, but the astrological one definitely came after she was born. Like, I already knew about astrology, obviously, early on, but it's not something I implemented in my daily life. And I sort of was like, I'm not going down that rabbit hole. It was very complicated, as you know.
Yeah.
And so after I had my daughter, I had pretty severe postpartum depression. And I had a lot of trouble understanding her and her sensitivity. It was just out of this world when you have a child that's highly sensitive like that. And I had a lot of trouble bonding with her. Something was missing. I didn't get it. And so we sought out heaps of help. We went to a lot of spiritual healers, counselors, allergy specialists, doctors, like you name it, we did it. And nothing seemed to ease anything that we were dealing with. And it wasn't until one day I pulled up her astrology chart and I was just like, oh my God. And I cried and cried and cried, and I just couldn't believe it because I finally understood her on this level that I'd been wanting to this whole time. And I also understood why I didn't understand her, because we're very different energetically. Mm-hmm. And she's intense, right? Like, she's such an intense kid. And like, I grew that, so I felt the intensity. I knew she was intense. But then to see it all laid out, it made me have much more compassion for her, mm-hmm. as her mother, which I think we all want to have for our child.
Yeah.
And I just understood her on this deeper level. And since then, our relationship has been totally different. And it really healed me. It was my medicine, astrology. And after that, I just became so grateful for it that it became a part of my life and my purpose to help other people.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I mean, I've spoken about this in so many other episodes about how when you find your way back to your true path, yeah. it's usually in those moments of darkness, and your experience was a part of your destiny because it left you searching for those answers, and through that you found your way back to one of your soul purposes, astrology. Yes, yeah. But yes, it is in those times of darkness that you do go searching, and it's just beautiful that your daughter brought you that.
Yeah, well, we all have that teacher child and that healer mm-hmm. child, right? And she was definitely my teacher.
Yes.
I'm grateful for everything that she's taught me, but yeah, she was definitely that for me. And
yeah, so amazing. So this is our first episode of our Astrology 101 series. So to start off, let me ask for our listeners, what is astrology?
Okay, so astrology is basically, it's just a spiritual tool, and it really puts a language to the parts of ourselves that we have a lot of trouble understanding or finding the words for. But in a technical sense, it's an ancient science, and it's the oldest body of knowledge that we have here on this planet. I think it's about 5,000 years old. And it's really just the correlation between the celestial bodies and us here on Earth. And so it's an archetypal system fundamentally. And so we're working with all of these different archetypal energies. And like mm-hmm. any energy in this world, you can choose to work with it or against it. Mm-hmm. But if you're working against it, it's going to show up as resistance in your life, which obviously we want to avoid. Mm-hmm. And so by understanding your natal chart, it allows you to live more authentically and with a deeper sense of purpose.
Yeah, amazing. It's so incredible to know that it has been around for so long. And it's one of many tools that has been taken away from us. Yeah. And society has conditioned it to be woo-woo.
Yeah, and it's actually not woo-woo at all, right?
No.
Like, the people 5,000 years ago weren't woo-woo, okay? This is observational science.
Yeah.
They watched it throughout thousands and thousands of years, and it has merit. So it's not like people think it's this really woo-woo spiritual practice, and it's actually, if you look at its, you know, inception, it wasn't mm-hmm. that at all.
Yeah, I know, she is making a comeback. Astrology,
yeah,
is making
go this, girl, yeah,
yeah, it's so good. So let's do a quick birth chart breakdown for those listening who have never seen a birth chart or maybe the first time hearing about it. So what does it look like and what does it involve?
Okay, so your birth chart is a screenshot of the sky the moment that you were born, and it's really just the map of your psyche. And I really believe that we chose to be born at a particular time in cosmic mm-hmm. history where the planets and the astral forces aligned, creating certain energies and tensions so that our soul could have a particular kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And so your birth chart is a map, basically. So how you choose to navigate it is totally up to you. That's where your free will comes in. But when you're looking at it, do you want me to describe technically what they're looking at in case
yeah.
they are looking at it? Okay, so it's going to look like a circle mm-hmm. or a pizza. It's divided up into 12 different sections, and those are called the 12 houses. Mm-hmm. And then we have 10 planets, and that each planet's going to sit within the houses. And then we have 12 signs, and essentially we have all of those 12 signs within us. So you're going to find a sign on the house cusp of every single house. And in astrology, we like to say that the planets are the what, so they're the basic human impulses, and the signs are the how the energy is expressed. And the houses are the where, so what location and arena is it showing up in my life? And we also like to use a little analogy in astrology, which is very helpful if you're a beginner, that the planets are the actors and the signs are the costumes that the actor is wearing, and then the houses are the stage and the set that the actor is performing on.
Okay, great. So we will explain more how this works later in this episode. So if you are here and your head is spinning a little bit, never fear. Just remember, big pizza,
big
cut
pizza
into 12 pieces, which represents the 12 houses, 10 planets, and 10 zodiac signs.
12
zodiac signs.
Yes. So those are the three basic elements that you really need to understand when you're interpreting your chart.
Okay. So we grew up with pop culture astrology, which was us thinking that we were just a star sign, reading our weekly horoscope in our local newspaper, which was always pretty general and vague.
Yes, yes.
So growing up, I knew I was a Gemini star sign because my birth date falls between May 22nd and June 21st. But I never resonated with being a Gemini because the pop culture description was two-faced, bitchy, indecisive, airy-fairy. But that's just simply not the case, no. Right?
Yes.
So can you share with us more about Gemini archetype? Because I'm sure there are so many other Geminis out there who have never been able to resonate. So what are the true aspects of a Gemini?
So Gemini is definitely one of those ones that was misrepresented in pop astrology. I also think Scorpio is very misrepresented and Capricorn. They're probably the three that I think just like the most shade gets thrown at them. But Gemini is really the archetype of the trickster, the storyteller, and the teacher. And so Geminis are intellectual, they're curious, they're energetic, and they're multidimensional beings. So they're here to live many lives within the one life. And I mean, if you open any astrological textbook, you're going to see the word Gemini associated with communication. So Geminis really like to communicate, to share ideas, concepts. Some Geminis like to network, but that doesn't mean that all Geminis are like that, okay? So it depends on other things in your chart. They're going to shift your placements. But Gemini really, part of their evolutionary process is about gathering information and learning and seeing and using all their psychic senses. They must hear, they must listen, and they must see. And so I always call them the mental enchantress. They're just out there learning and being curious and exploring the mind and gathering all this information, and then they can put it to use wherever they need to.
Yeah, and see, I resonate with that. So now that we know that we are light beings embodying a personality, having a human experience, would you say that our personality is the archetypes of the zodiac signs which are in our birth charts?
Yes, so you're going to embody every single sign in a different way. There's definitely more signs that are going to show up more prominently in your chart, which is generally like most people are going to resonate with their sun, moon and rising above all else. But yeah, really we embody all of them at all different times, and as well we evolve into our birth chart over time. Okay, so we're not born as our birth chart, you know, like you might look back on your life and it'll all make sense. So because we're evolving into the highest expression of it, we're really embodying all these different energies at different times.
Yeah, okay. So we are so much more than just our star sign, which is technically our sun sign.
Yes.
So if you have been thinking up until this point that you are just one sign, prepare to have your mind blown. That's exactly what
you
happened
to complex.
Me. You are complex. Yes, you are complex beings. So this episode is titled Sun, Moon and Rising, which means that we are going to start by learning our sun sign, our moon sign and our rising sign, which will better understand ourselves. So for the purpose of our Astrology 101 series, I am going to get raw and real with you guys as we are going to use my birth chart as an example to help you better understand. So let's start off with our rising sign. What is that?
Okay, so your rising sign, and I'll preface by saying that your rising sign and your ascendant sign are the same thing. So the terms are interchangeable. Okay. So if you're looking it up and you're getting confused because you're seeing the word ascendant, that just means rising. Your rising sign is the sign that was rising over the eastern horizon the moment that you were born. And it's not a planet, it's just a point in the sky. So it's the marker that sets up your whole chart. And your rising sign is really your general approach to life and your outlook on life. And it's the first impression that you make on people. So when people are meeting you for the first time, they're generally meeting your rising sign. And it's sort of like that persona that we wear in society. And it also denotes your appearance and your style, so how you dress and how you look. And I really believe that we grow into our rising sign over time, so we really learn how to express its energy. Okay, so your rising sign is the front door to the house. So it's the first impression that you're receiving before you step inside the house itself.
Okay, so now that we know our rising sign is our book cover and how we show up in the world, I am a Cancer rising. So what does that mean? Can you explain what a Cancer rising is?
Yes, yeah, so if you're a Cancer rising, you have a very sophisticated attunement to the feeling nature. So you're a very sensitive being, especially when you're out there in the world. It's going to be very easy for a Cancer rising to pick up on emotions, moods and feelings in the environment. So that's where you get that classic Cancerian shell. So mm-hmm. people like to put up this Cancerian shell if you're a Cancer that can be hard for others to infiltrate. But once it is infiltrated, you find a very kind, caring and compassionate soul inside. And a Cancer rising is not the loud, obnoxious person in a group. They're going to be the more reserved, quiet and sometimes even shy person. Mm-hmm. But Cancer is the archetype of the mother, the nurturer and the counsellor. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to project some of those qualities onto the world.
Yeah. I mean, I really resonated with this because I've always wanted to be a mum, and I remember when I fell pregnant, I threw out all my bright, sparkly clothes because I thought if I replace them with soft, neutral tones, it would better represent me as
a mum.
And little did I know, I was just hiding other aspects of myself. Yes. But it is such a funny exercise when you jump onto social media and
you see everyone's rising sign.
Yeah, you can. It's almost a fun game to guess like what their rising sign
is. It is so fun, isn't
it? Because,
yeah.
I mean, you almost picked my rising sign.
I just laughed. I remember the first time seeing that you were a Cancer rising. That was like hilarious because, I mean, if you look at thus far what you've done in your life, it's all around motherhood and mothering, and mm-hmm. it's part of your purpose, your rising sign, and really you were on track because mm-hmm. you were helping people with motherhood, and so Cancer rising of you.
I know, it's so funny, and I do notice this a lot when I go out into group settings. I come off as shy.
Yeah.
I really go into this shell. I sit back, I observe, and I just...
You're very protective. Cancerian, especially Cancerian rising people, are very protective of their energy because they know they're sensitive, right? Mm. So sometimes they don't even know. They're like, why am I doing this? But they're sort of pulled back, and it's just this layer of protection that you have to put up.
So let's jump over to the sun sign. What does the sun sign represent?
So your sun is your essence, and it's your divine spirit, and it's really the force that sustains us here on Earth. And so I always think that the sun sign is really the engine to your whole personality. And the sun is at the center of our solar system. So it's really the lead role that you're playing in this grand drama of life. And it's your core center. It's where you express yourself from. And it's strongly associated with our ego and our individuality.
Okay, so we know that I'm a Gemini sun, as we spoke about before, and the archetypal features of a Gemini. But this is where the house has come into play. So I am a Gemini sun in my 12th house. Can you explain to our beautiful listeners, what does this mean?
Yes, so you look at Gemini, right? And Geminis are people orientated and they're social and they're loquacious. But then you have the 12th house and it's very different to that. So the 12th house is a hidden house and it's the house of the unconscious, karma and solitude. So you have somebody with these qualities that aren't going to express themselves so much in those that people oriented and social Gemini way. You're obviously going to be people orientated, but on a different level because it's in the 12th house. So when you have your sun in the 12th house, it's really somebody that needs a lot of time to themselves. They need to be away from people a lot, to have their own freedom and space to be who they are. And people in this house really learn a lot about themselves through exploring the unconscious realms of life. And the 12th house is really, well, if you look at the basic principle of the sun, it's to establish an identity. Mm-hmm. And you look at the basic principle of the 12th house is to dissolve everything and become one with everything. Mm-hmm. So here you have an individual that needs to be very flexible with their ego. And when they are able to be flexible with their ego, then they become a channel for invoking change in the collective. And so it's a very selfless place for the sun to be because you have to learn to get rid of that ego to open yourself up to being something bigger and greater than the self. It's also a very self-sacrificing house to have the sun because the sun in this house really wants to serve and help humanity.
Yeah, see, I wasn't aware of these aspects of myself, and without awareness, things are misunderstood. Like, I never understood why a part of me wanted to be out socializing, but another part of me felt like an introvert. When I found out my sun is in my 12th house, I started to honor these aspects of myself rather than resist it. I actually use solitude as a part of my creative process. For example, I got an intuitive hit to go into stillness a few months ago, and from that, this podcast was created. So when I remove myself from the noise of the outside world, I am able to clearly channel and receive messages of how I can be of service to the collective. Also, when you say 12th house is about the unconscious, I really connect with that because a lot of the work that I am doing now is with the unconscious, is with the subconscious, and dance healing helps me unlock those hidden parts of myself so I can heal. And I'm excited to go deeper and share more about that. So even if you are just wanting confirmation that you are living your authentic self and in alignment with your life path, having your birth chart read is so impactful.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So for example, someone with their sun in their 10th house, what would that look like?
So if you have a sun in the 10th house, you're somebody that's almost going to establish your identity through your career.
Okay.
So you link yourself and your career together. So you're somebody that really, the sun feels empowered by working out in the public and through their chosen work and all those sorts of things. People with a sun in that house usually desire some sort of recognition for who they are. The part of their purpose is strongly linked to what they're going to do in this world, but they do like to be perceived a certain way as, so if you have your sun there, you want to be perceived as the sun, as the center of our solar system. Mm-hmm. And so it is a very powerful position to have as well.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, so now for our moon sign, what does the moon represent?
So the moon is basically, well, if you look at the sun and the rising, they are very apparent to people on the surface. But the moon is the inner part of you, and it's the part of you that you see. And it's that part of you that reacts before you even have time to think at all. And so the moon is strongly associated with our emotions, our instincts, our intuition, and it's really that primal and habitual part of ourselves. And it's strongly linked with the past and how that lives inside of us. But it's really that unconscious force. And astrologer Evelyn Adams once says, and I love this, that she said, the sun signifies your individuality and the moon signifies your personality. Mm. And I think that's very true because I think we all really deep down very strongly associate with our moon sign.
Yeah, it's so incredible. Now, when I learned my moon sign, it was probably one of the top pivotal moments in my self-discovery journey. Mm. I am a Virgo moon in my third house, so the house of communication. And when you told me about this zodiac archetype, it blew my mind. So let's chat about the low vibes and the high vibes of a Virgo.
So yes, if you have your moon in Virgo, you have a very strong link between your emotions and the body. So Virgo is the archetype of the healer, the perfectionist, the analyst, and the servant. And servant not in the slavery sense that you're a slave to somebody. It's just that Virgo wants to be of servitude to the world. Mm-hmm. And it really feels good inside by helping other people and helping fix other people. So Virgo is much like Gemini in the fact, because they're both ruled by Mercury, that they want to go out and gather all this information, but Virgo tends to take it a step further and they want to put that information into practical, tangible use to help people. Mm-hmm. Virgo always sacrifices themselves for the good of other people, but the perfectionism that Virgo tends to have can be a little unobtainable sometimes.
Yes, yeah. I was there.
Yeah.
So that's more the high vibe. What's the low vibe? Let's just chat quickly about some low vibes.
Okay, so this is also high vibe, I guess, as well, but Virgo is very structured, very organized. They like routine. They have an impeccable eye for detail. But the problem with Virgo is when things can get chaotic and out of control, they tend to be warriors. They get quite nitpicky, critical. They overanalyze everything. They overthink everything. Mm-hmm. And that can cause a lot of stress in the body.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I mean, I resonate so much with a lot of those qualities, both high and low. But you may have noticed by now that I love a good story. And Brooke, you explain Geminis as the storyteller. So I'd love to share a story with you that happened just after I found out that I was a Virgo moon. So I was definitely the lower vibes of a Virgo, and being in my moon sign, my emotions were highly strong, anxious, perfectionist, controlling, analytical. And I will never forget this time. Yeah, it was right after I found out I was a Virgo moon. My husband Dan and I went for a walk in nature. We were walking towards this lookout where the track was clear, open, I could see my surroundings, and I felt safe. On the way back, my husband said, "Let's walk the bush track home." And I was like, "Oh," he's like, "It'll be fun." And as I looked down, at the not clear and not open track, I felt my anxiety beginning to rush in. No, 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 let's go back the track we came on. We know that it's safe, I said. And Dan looked at me with his cheeky, persuasive eye and said, "Where's your sense of adventure, babe?" So as we were walking down this thick bush track, I had this epiphany. My husband has a Sagittarius moon. He is emotionally fulfilled when he is out exploring, being spontaneous. You can literally see his inner child so happy when he is in the state of adventure and freedom. Then there was me. A Virgo moon trying to control my environment, analyzing every step I was taking and making a mental checklist and plan of what we do in case of emergency. Also, with my moon being in my third house, my house of communication, I found myself rambling my nervous thoughts. When I realized that I was trying to control nature, that is when I realized my Virgo moon was an aspect of myself that I needed to evolve. Mm. So let's chat about how one can evolve their sign, because now that we are aware of our sun, moon and rising, it's not like we can say, nope, I want to be a Leo moon now in this life. So what is some advice for our listeners to best evolve their signs?
So two things, self-inquiry and self-awareness. So understanding your basic human nature, which you can do through your birth chart, and life is about duality, right? So it's important to acknowledge that we all have very unevolved traits and we all have very evolved traits, and it's trying to harmonize and balance the two of them. So If we're leaning more towards the unevolved sign, like obviously that's something we need to work on, whereas if they're harmonized and balanced, so you see both of them within you, that duality is fine. Mm-hmm. But it's just knowing the highest expression of the sign, and that's energy that you can really harness and sit in and put a lot of your energy and thought into that side of the sign than the unevolved sign.
Yeah, and that's what I felt like when I first got my birth chart read, is that I was really called to the moon. I really felt like I was the unevolved aspects of that Virgo moon, and I knew I could evolve it. So with your help, I really did understand the highest expression, and I'm now still trying to move there.
Yeah, we're all on this journey. And there's no such thing as a bad sign.
Yeah.
So every single sign has positives and negatives. Mm-hmm. So it's just about that self-awareness. So looking at it and saying, okay, that is a negative trait, but then I have all these positive traits as well.
Yeah.
Every single placement in your chart can be good or bad. And that's where you as the individual use your free will to decide what you want to do with the energy. That's why astrology is that archetypal system. So it's, you're working with these energies, but do what you want with them.
Yeah, perfect. All right, I have a question. What if you have a birth chart reading and there are some aspects of it that doesn't resonate? Like, have you had an experience with this before?
Yes, so, and most people will have this experience. So I know when I first got my birth chart read by a professional astrologer, I definitely didn't resonate with a lot of it, actually. But also, I wasn't ready to hear those parts of myself as well. Mm-hmm. And like I said to you earlier, because you evolve into your chart over time, some things might not make sense now, but then they'll make sense later. But also, there's a very medieval approach to astrology that some people do. So it can be very negative. So you just have to be mindful of that. And like I said, because every aspect can be positive or negative. So, you know, you need to look at the negatives and look at the positives and just find where you fit into it. And you can turn a negative into a positive, you know?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, from a personal experience, there is some information that I found on my birth chart that I just wasn't ready to look into. And the information was deep, like just say...
So deep, some
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, some of it's like...
confronting some stuff. Yeah.
And some of it I was just still dealing with layer one. Yes. And I was like, I'm not ready to go that deep yet. So I think advice for our listeners would be gentle with yourself, and you have a lifetime to uncover all of these aspects of yourself. And like you said, this is our map. It's our blueprint of this life. So we will evolve into it and grow with it.
And the only time you're going to understand your chart is through self-examination. Mm-hmm. So someone might write the chart for you, but you need to examine it and understand it in order to implement it in your life.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely something you can use your own intuition.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I always say that you're born with your map. which is your birth chart, but you have your compass, which is your intuition. Mm-hmm. So how you navigate it is you're going to use both of those things.
Yeah, so perfect. So let's chat about resonating with other zodiac signs, because when I was growing up, I was really drawn to the Leo personality. Being a dancer and on stage, I felt like I wanted to be a Leo. When I had my birth chart reading, I found out that I had a lot of Leo in my chart. So can you explain what this means?
Yes, so you have a stellium of Leo, and what a stellium is a concentration of planets. So you've got three planets in Leo all nearly sitting on top of each other. So that's like magnified Leo energy. So you're going to feel Leo very strongly within your personality, and that's going to show up in everybody's chart in certain areas. So you might be like a Cancer sun, a Gemini moon, and a Virgo rising, but then you have a stellium of Capricorn and you're going to feel it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just, that's why you need to look at your chart really in depth and have an astrologer read it. And because then there's all these different little parts of your personality that are going to pop out.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So when it was almost like I intuitively knew that I had Leo in me, because from a young age. So
and your Mars is in Leo and your Venus is in Leo, which are personal planets, so you're going to feel them on a very personal level.
Now a question I think our beautiful Woo listeners would like to know, because I was intrigued too: can other people show up on your birth chart?
Yes, absolutely. All kinds of people can really show up in your birth chart. So general rule is you have your siblings in your third house, so you'll often see them there. Not always, but a lot of the time you will. And then you have your parents in either the 10th house or the 4th house. So they say the shaping parent is in the 10th house, which is actually usually the mother. And then you have the hidden parent in the 4th house, which can be the father. But it can flip. So, you know, in our times, when new age now, so maybe the dad stayed at home with the child. And so you just, once again, through self-examination, you can figure that out. And then you have your husband or your marriage partner, business partners, really close partnerships are going to show up in the 7th house.
Yeah, okay. So if you're wanting to know what your soul needs in a relationship, you can find this information out from your birth chart?
Yeah, so you have your ascendant and then you have your descendant, which is basically completely opposite your ascendant. And those are qualities, it'll be a sign. So for instance, let's use you for an example. You have a Cancer rising, so your descendant is going to be in Capricorn. So for you, you're really looking for somebody with Capricorn like qualities, so somebody that's hardworking, ambitious, grounded, responsible, and that's really what your soul is going to crave in a relationship. But you also look at the seventh house, so if there's planets in the seventh house, they're also qualities that you generally want in somebody.
Okay. So let's jump into astrological parenting, or as you like to call it, cosmic parenting.
Yes.
So as you shared with us in the beginning of this episode, you immersed yourself into astrology to better understand your daughter. Now, I think every mother here listening can agree that if someone said, "I can give you a tool to help you understand and raise your child to their highest potential," we would all jump for it. Well, we are going to share that with you right now and how you can get started today. So a child's birth chart is exactly like ours, correct?
Yes, identical.
Yes. So, but when reading a chart, what areas of the chart should we focus on as parents?
So when you're looking at a child's chart, basically you want to foster their gifts and their talents, but you also want to understand their emotional body, so the energy that they're working with emotionally. So first of all, I always look at the moon. That's the main one, because we all know that children run off their emotions most of the time. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to look at the sun straight after that, and then you can start pulling in some of the other personal planets.
Yeah, okay. So for example purposes, we are going to use my eldest child's birth chart, because Winslow is my child who is my teacher. She is the one who makes me ask all the internal parenting questions and has me searching for answers. So now Winslow and I are very similar. We are both Gemini suns and Virgo moons, but our placements on our birth chart means our wants and needs are different. So can you explain Winslow's moon sign?
Yes, so Winslow has a Virgo moon like you. Mm-hmm. So fundamentally, this is a child that needs a lot of routine, structure, organization, a clean environment. So if she doesn't have that, she's not going to feel emotionally secure. So knowing that, first of all, is important. Mm-hmm. So if things are getting chaotic, she's not going to feel good inside. But not only is she a Virgo moon, which isn't a particularly emotional placement, okay? Because a Virgo moon will tend to analyze their emotions more than feel them very strongly. But she has the moon in her first first house. So any planet that you have in your first house is going to be a very core part of your personality. So if I'm trying to find out what someone's generally like, I'm going to look to planets in the first house. And planets in the first house are activated very early on in life. So if I'm looking at a child's chart, I want to look at the first house. So having your moon in there, she's going to take on lunar-like qualities. So she's going to be very emotional, sensitive, and receptive.
Mm-hmm.
But not only does she have the moon there, she also has Jupiter there. And Jupiter corresponds with expansion. So when you're putting these two planets together, you're getting emotional expansiveness. And not only that, it is channeled through her Leo rising, her dramatic and exuberant Leo rising. So this is a child that's going to have very dramatic and big and loud displays of emotion.
Yeah, this still gives me such a sigh of relief, because before knowing these aspects about Winslow, I felt like I didn't understand her. You know, I'd question, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not getting through to her? And I think a lot of mothers will resonate with that. I used to say, sit down, sweetie, talk calmly, tell mummy what's wrong. But Winslow would want to stamp her feet, swing her arms, and make these dramatic sounds as she would run to her room and slam her door. And my logical and rational self didn't understand why someone would want to handle their emotions that way. But as soon as I stopped trying to fulfill her emotional needs with my emotional needs, that's when everything changed. So seeing her birth chart allowed me to have compassion for her and her wants and needs, and I stopped thinking she was broken. She is being her fabulously authentic self, and it is my job as a mother to first use this as a tool to understand my child so I don't condition her, and then help her to know these aspects so she has a better understanding of herself. And I then went and studied Pascal and Daphne's charts, and I now mother them slightly different to cater to their emotional needs. So do you have any other examples you'd like to share with us about parents and understanding their child's moon placement?
Yeah, so can I use some examples?
Yeah, go for it.
So I'll use my daughter, for example, because she's very much like your daughter. Very sensitive, and moon conjunct Jupiter. She's got Neptune in her first house. Like, she's just like a wildly sensitive Pisces rising, wildly sensitive little thing. And I'm like you. So I'm an air moon, I'm an Aquarius moon. And I was trying to fix things. I'm like, okay, well, like, I'm talking through things, I'm trying to fix things. And she was just, it would make her worse. It would personify her emotions. And then I've looked at her chart and examined her whole chart. I'm like, okay, I understand what I need to do now. So as a parent, I don't also, it's important to say that when your child is being so emotional and over the top, over the smallest little things, like, I'm not saying that she needs to be like that, that's helpful to be like that all the time, but I honor that in her, and I hold that space for her. So just saying to her, darling, I know you feel that. And my child is someone who needs a lot of affection and love and quite likes to be smothered. And so I get down with her. Do you want to cuddle, baby, when she's crying? And she's being ridiculous, right? But I'm like, do you want to cuddle? Mummy's here. I understand. And then I implement a technique. So I'm deep breathing. I'm practicing breathing with her. You know, half the time she probably won't even, she's like so emotional that she can't even see what I'm doing, but I'm giving her a technique. So it's like, yes, here is her emotional nature. I understand it, and I'm not going to take that away from you. I know you feel those things. And then second, do you need a cuddle? Do you need some love? And then third, here is a technique to help you with that emotion.
Yeah, it's so amazing, because when you start to actually lean into their emotional body and put yourself aside and actually understand them, it changes right away. Like, all of a sudden you're getting through to them. It might not make sense to your emotional body.
No, it was very hard. It's hard for me to do, because I'm actually not a tactile person. I'm not a smothering person. Like, I'm I need a lot of space and freedom, right? And my child needs the exact opposite. So for me, I have to really consciously make a choice to be like, no, I know you need this, so I'm going to give you this.
Yeah, I fully understood the concept of conscious parenting when I understood my children's emotions, because I had to consciously choose their emotions instead of my own emotions.
Exactly.
And that was like...
And it's hard to do. It's very hard to do. Yeah. I have another example actually that's probably helpful because we've just talked about two very emotional children. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the flip side. So mm-hmm. I had a client the other week and she had a child with an Aquarius moon, same like mine. And her child needed a lot of space all the time and she'd get upset the child and the mother would be like, oh, come here, darling, give me a cuddle. And she's following around trying to fix it. And the child she wasn't responding to it. And I said, she needs space and freedom. Like she wants to be left alone. So I said, acknowledge that she's there and she's feeling it. Like, I know, do you need some space, darling? You let me know if you need a cuddle. And so she was like, I thought I was doing something wrong because she didn't want to hug me or she didn't want to be near me. And I'm like, no, she just wants her own space to process it. She doesn't want people in her energy field. Like she's just taking her time to do her own thing. So it's understanding all the different emotional bodies that you have within your household and how they fit into the system of your family. Mm-hmm. So it's knowing that, no, there's not a one size fits all. Like everybody is different and I'm going to be conscious enough as a parent to integrate all these different methods.
Yeah. Okay. So we've spoken about the moon and how important this is. But what else should we be looking at and understanding with our children?
So if we just look at her sun sign, for instance, so she's a Gemini sun. So if you have a Gemini child, this is a child that needs a lot of stimulation and particularly mental stimulation. So activities, puzzles, games, anything like that, that the child can disperse their mental energy is really great. And Gemini wants to explore. So she's going to be a kid that wants to get out there and explore the world and ask questions. Gemini children are going to want to ask a lot of questions.
Oh my God, does she ask questions?
Yes. And then, so you know that that's not her trying to be annoying. She's generally curious about the world and she wants to ask all these different things. And Gemini children love to talk, obviously. So they're going to learn a lot through communication with others. So sharing their ideas from people from different cultures or walks of life are going to be very helpful for a Gemini child.
Yeah, it's so amazing because Winslow's already showing all of these qualities and now I just love them even more because I know she is being her authentic self. Yeah. And it's, yeah.
And that's so where you know you haven't conditioned your child. When you look at their chart and you see they're living it and they're living in their energy and their truth and their vibrancy and you're like, yes, I'm doing something right.
Yes, high five, mom.
Yeah.
All right. So what are the areas of their chart that we shouldn't look at as a parent?
I think that, and it has taken me time to figure this out as well, like through learning in my own practice, but I think it's very important to not look at any of the outer planets. There's a lot of your chart that's very sacred and personal to you that you wouldn't want other people exploring. Like there's certain parts of my chart I'm still uncomfortable sharing with people. And so I just don't think it's helpful as a parent to dive into certain aspects of their chart, certain trauma points, things like that. Like it's not helpful. So just understanding the child's sun, moon, rising, and the personal planets. So if you're looking at Mars, Venus and Mercury, because Mercury is also how you're learning, how you're intaking information. And so that is helpful when the child goes to school to know their Mercury, and Venus is how you're giving and receiving love. And so that is important as well. But anything other than that, I just feel like that's not helpful. Also planets that are making aspects, which is a bit complicated, which we might get into in another episode, but any planets that are aspecting the sun or moon are important as well.
Yeah. Okay. So now Brooke, our children are in the age group of 0 to 5 years, but I am sure there are plenty of mothers listening who have children who are older and possibly even in their teens. What age would you recommend sharing the birth chart with their child and teaching them astrology so that it can be a tool that they can use?
I think at every child is individual and different, so you have to look at your child's nature and where they're at and what they can handle. But at any age where they can conceptualize things, really. And also as a teenager, it's obviously going to be very helpful to know your chart. But like some kids are going to be able to learn it from very, very young age. I'm talking as soon as they can learn and read and write, that sort of thing. Just those basic points, so the sun, moon and rising, just basic parts of their nature, because then they can step into their energy and their truth and their authenticity. And that's so powerful for a child to be like, this is me and I know this is me, and to step inside that and radiate that person.
Yeah, and I think as well when they see mummy and daddy understanding them and being able to talk to them and say, yeah, you love this, like, and they're like, hey, I really do, that's awesome. But I mean, I wish I had this when I hit puberty.
Absolutely, me too.
Yeah,
like what is the education system doing?
I know. I think I'm so excited for this new age and the education system will be like for our children, because I truly believe that astrology is going to play a huge part, not just from a birth chart point of view, but from a cosmic point of view, yeah. and understanding the energies of that are happening, you know,
collectively, what the planets are doing yeah. at any given time.
I mean, think about the planets at the moment.
Wow, yeah.
Currently what we are going through. How many planets do we have in retrograde at the moment? So I think we've got about, what, five planets in retrograde yeah. at the moment. So from a cosmic level and a collective level, I mean, astrology is playing a huge part at the moment. So I think that our kids and at their education system is going to be very different come, you know, even 10 years down the track.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It is exciting. But I know for one, in our household, we will definitely be teaching our kids astrology and letting them understand their birth chart as much as possible.
I think on a basic level, just to teach your children astrology, it allows them to have that compassion for other people. Yeah. So as an adult learning about astrology, I have compassion for nearly every single person in my life now on a level I didn't have before, because mm-hmm. I understand why they are the way they are. Whereas before that, I'd be like, why are you doing that? That's so irritating. And now I'm like, oh, I see why you're doing that. And I love that. And you do you. And that's amazing. Like, and I just have that level of compassion I never had before.
But now that I know that, I'm like, oh, that's just my aspect.
Exactly.
And I can totally be compassionate, especially yes. towards my husband, because
yep.
that has really helped our relationship so much. Because
I mean, you're an earth moon and he's a fire moon, so like mm-hmm. wowza.
Yes.
Different emotional
totally different. And I used to micromanage the absolute sheezy out of him,
and his Sag moon would be like, hell no.
We just did things differently, and yeah. we didn't quite understand. But now that we understand those emotional aspects of ourselves, we are like a united force, you know.
Exactly.
It's been such an amazing experience for both of us. So I highly recommend you get a birth chart reading for each member of your family. This was absolutely life-changing for both Dan and I as parents. Before we were aware of astrological parenting, we had a one-size-fits-all parenting style. It was how we were raised, and the saying, if you live under our roof, you live by our rules, was something that both of us and our parents, I think that generation.
It's just generational.
It was that generation. Yeah. And we just realized that belief system no longer serves us and our children. So we have a general standard family rules, you know, like everyone, no hitting, being kind. But how we handle certain situations will vary depending if it's Winslow, Pascal or Daphne's, because we now have their blueprint and we are learning their soul, and we are learning the best way to support and guide them in this lifetime. So what do you need to get a birth chart reading?
Okay, so you need your date of birth, mm-hmm. obviously, and you need your time of birth, and you need your birth location. Now, you have to be very specific with the location, and you have to be very specific with the time, because the sun moves, it takes about 30 days to move through each sign, so you're sharing your sun sign with that whole month. Mm-hmm. And then you have your moon sign, and it's taking roughly 2.5 days to move through each sign. But then with your rising sign, it's shifting every 2 hours. So mm-hmm. if your birth time is even slightly off, it can change your whole chart.
Okay. All right. So, and you've worked with clients before to get their rising, their time,
yes.
their rising sign.
So if a client has a roundabout time, so they're like, you know, I was born between 7:30 and 8:30. I just did this not long ago. The client was born, she wasn't sure, 7:30 and 8:30. And so she could have either been an Aries rising or a Taurus rising. And so through a process of elimination and me asking her a lot of questions, we were able to nail down that she was a Taurus rising. Mm-hmm. But even if you have no time at all, it'll take longer. It might take a mm-hmm. while, but you can work with an astrologer and pinpoint what your rising sign is.
Yeah, okay, cool. So how can our Woo listeners connect with you?
So you can find me on Instagram. My handle is Moth to the Moon. And my website is www.mothtothemoon.com. And I have mini chart readings available for purchase on my website. So that's everything that we talked about today, which is your sun, moon, rising, and the house placements that they sit in. And you also get a generated birth chart when you do that. And so I'll list all of your other placements as well. And I do full chart readings and cosmic alchemy sessions via Skype. I just have a bit of a wait list for them, but you can email me if you want to secure a spot. And I also, on my website, I will be starting a Astrology 101 beginners course. So you can also join the mailing list for that.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brooke. I will leave all of Brooke's information and contact details in the show notes below. Thank you so much for connecting with us in the now moment, whenever that is in your reality. Thank you for listening to your inner guidance system that led you to listen to this podcast. We hope that you can start to use astrology as a practical tool and it brings you clarity on your soul journey. If you loved this episode and learning about astrology, hit that subscribe button and keep an eye out for more Astrology 101 chats with my girl Brooke. You know I am always calling in my soul family, so head over and connect with me on my personal page at George Wolf or our podcast Instagram at Woo Is The New. We would love to hear your thoughts on this episode, so feel free to leave a review below. I am sending you so much love. Until next week, bye.